Daniel chapter 7. And we're going to talk about government, a beast, and the Romans 13 is the spiritual chain for the beast. This Romans 13 will put into perspective civil government. It puts in the perspective of that there is not this power in civil government that is an all-encompassing power that you must obey them above all else, above everything, and at any cost. But I'm going to show you that government is a beast from the scriptures, and I'm going to show you that God did put in a system of balances and a hierarchy of law, like Brother Finney has talked about in some of his teachings, that actually tells us, instructs us of where our allegiance lies with civil government. And I think it's important that we understand this, that government is a beast, and government wants worship. All right? They do in a lot of ways. And I'm going to take you through this one here, and then there's an end times one, an end times beast, and I want to talk about a Jesuit New World Order end times beast that I'm going to preach to you about on Sunday. But there's another one that I may preach to you on Sunday. I'm just not sure yet if that's the way the Lord wants me to go. But I might preach one called The Beast. Government is a beast, and then through history, the history of the beast, and show the history of persecution of civil government towards people, towards the people of God. All right, and show you that from Rome to the government of the United States of America, all the way through until we had the Bill of Rights, until we had men like John Leland and John Clark and, you know, other men like that that stood up, and Roger Williams and other men that stood up against that. And so I'm going to talk to you. I may do that on Sunday as well. I may bring a message to you on that and kind of give you this history so you understand it's kind of like a history of liberty, so to speak. But it also shows you that government is a beast. And what we have here in this country is not normal. I want you to understand that it's not normal, but it has impacted the whole world. The Bill of Rights in America has impacted the whole world. It has absolutely impacted the whole world. And God has used it for His glory. God has used it for His glory to spread the gospel through the known world and to have somewhat of an ease for some people around the world in their tribulations that they go through. But Daniel chapter 7, we're going to go to here. And let's pray first. Father, Lord, I pray You be with us. Now help us, Lord, with this. Help us to understand that government is beast. But You put in place Romans 13 to put a chain on that beast in our lives so we could understand that government is not God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Daniel chapter 7, verse number 23. Thus He said, the fourth beast shall be the fourth kingdom upon earth, which shall be diverse from all kingdoms, and shall devour the whole earth, and shall tread it down, and break it in pieces. And the ten horns out of this kingdom are ten kings that shall arise, and another shall arise after them. And he shall be diverse from the first, and he shall subdue three kings. And he shall speak great words against the Most High, and shall wear out the saints of the Most High, and think to change times and laws, and they shall be given into his hand until a time and times and the dividing of time. We're not going to explain all that tonight. In fact, there's probably going to be three sermons. I've already told you about another one that's already written, but there's going to be probably three sermons that kind of go through this beast system and explain this government as a beast and show its implications upon us and how that works. But turn to Revelation chapter 13, verse number 16, please. Because we'll talk about this on Sunday, that end times Jesuit Babylonian beast that will form, that is forming, but will come to its fruition, will come to its full growth in those end times during that tribulation, during that time to come. Revelation chapter 13 and verse number 16. And he causeth all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads, and that no man might buy or sell, save he that had the mark or the name of the beast, or the number of his name. So that's the end game. That's the end game, okay? The end game is the fact that we will see the rise of that fourth kingdom that comes across the whole earth that controls absolutely everything, that has the temporal power and the spiritual power. Now, we know that there's a shadow of that temporal power, that spiritual power. We already know where that power is coming from, don't we? We see it today. We know that, and we'll talk about that in the next sermon on Sunday, Lord willing, if that's the way the Lord leads me. We'll talk about the papacy. We'll talk about the power of the papacy. We'll talk about the temporal and the spiritual power and the history of that through the history of that persecution of the saints of the Most High. And you will see that in the end, that's where it's headed. Where we're headed is as a one-world government. But it should not be a surprise to you. The saints of God should not be surprised by the one-world government that is coming. That shadow government will no longer, one day it will no longer be a shadow. It will be out in the open. And I believe you're seeing a fundamental transformation right now. I believe that's what you're seeing right now in front of you. You are witnessing history right now before your eyes. You are watching that Roman Catholic Church come completely out of the shadows, that one world government come completely out of the shadows to take control and to rule. You're seeing it, but more about that on Sunday. We're going to get back to this right here and really go through this. Scripture shows us, number one, that government is a beast. That's what government is. Brother Beller used to talk about that. I used to love listening to him preach, and he would talk about government as a beast, and you must chain the beast. There has to be a chain on it. And what's happened today with government, basically civil government, is out of control today. It is absolutely out of control. The beast has broken all the chains in the United States of America and is running loose and running wild and has turned on its masters. That's what's happened in America today. You have just an absolute rampant. What you have is a leading up to lawlessness. If you understand this, you will see that there is no love for the written law. There is no honor among thieves. There is absolutely no honor among thieves. They have no loyalty to the written law. They hate the Bill of Rights. They hate the Constitution. It is a chain that chains them, and they hate it. So they write executive orders, and they do whatever they can to get out of that, to circumvent that. That's what they're doing. It's absolutely what they're doing. Today, as we see. In Daniel, he labels these kingdoms as beasts, doesn't he? The beast is always hungry and never full and always looking for complete domination of your life. I mean, who would have thought 15 years ago, who would have thought that a healthcare plan would be in place that would force people to use healthcare, to use certain services that the government forces on you? Who would have thought that would actually pass? Where somebody could actually tell you, who would have thought that we'd be in a place now of total lawlessness that queers and transvestites and transgenders want to walk into the bathroom and stand there next to your daughter? But that's part of the fundamental transformation. That's part of it. Why? Because they hate the written law. That's the Antichrist. That's the spirit of Antichrist. And that's the beast that is out of control. What is government's purpose? God has ordained civil government for a purpose. What is its purpose? To protect life, liberty, and property. That is civil government's duty. Right? That's civil government's duty. However, civil government wants to be God. There's always a danger of government wanting to be God. Always a danger of that. Always a danger of the beast breaking its chains and turning on its masters. Always. Our founding fathers of this nation, they understood that full well. They knew that's exactly what would happen. The Baptists knew exactly what would happen if civil government was able to do that. Why? Well, because they had a history of Roman persecution. They knew. They knew that if government became God, which is going to happen, by the way, on this earth. I don't mean they're not going to be the... But what does the Bible talk about in Thessalonians? Yeah. Saying he is God. Now, we understand that's the Antichrist, but it's also the system. Yeah, it's the system. Government one day on this earth will become God on this earth for a short time. Not the God of the Bible, but read your King James Bible. It's not lowercase, it's capitalized. Why? Because he is going to sit as God, saying he is God. That is going to happen, and that's what civil government's natural tendency is to do, if it's not chained. The purpose is found in Romans chapter 13 for civil government, and we'll talk about that at the end of this message. And that's to enforce the second table of the law. That's civil government's duty. Protect life, liberty, and property. But it's the nature of the beast as time goes on. And when the beast comes to that maturity and full power, it will try to enforce that first table of the law. It will become God on this earth. Turn to Genesis chapter 10, verse number 8. We see that the first time we see this beast rise is, I believe, in Genesis chapter 8. I mean, we understand the garden, ye shall be gods. But this is the first time a one-world government was attempted, was formed, was attempted, and was destroyed. Amen. Right? Was shortly after the flood, Brother Finney. Not long after the flood. Not long after God instituted civil government, right? We believe that, don't we? Genesis chapter 9. We believe that God instituted civil government. We don't believe like the Dominionists do. We don't believe like the, who are they? Brother Nate, those other, not the Dominionists, but the other guys. Guys that believe in no lawlessness, basically. Anarchists. Yep, anarchists. We don't believe like them. We don't. Oh, no, God didn't ordain civil government. No, that wasn't. No, he didn't do that. That's not what it was. Wait, what, are you kidding me? He gave Noah the death penalty. God said, no, I'm not going to punish them any longer. You are. I'm not putting the mark on Cain anymore. You are. It's your responsibility. Pay attention. You might learn something tonight if you pay attention, if you listen. You'll learn some things. I want to help you with it. Genesis chapter 10, verse number 8. And Cush begat Nimrod. He began to be a mighty one in the earth. He was a mighty hunter before the Lord. Wherefore it is said, even as Nimrod, the mighty hunter before the Lord. What was Nimrod? What does that mean, a mighty hunter? He was a hunter of men's heads. He was an assassin. That's right. He was a hunter of men's heads. That's exactly what he did. He took people's heads. I mean, go back and you can listen to a series I did on Nimrod a long time ago. I don't know if any of you have heard that. Some of you new ones might not have heard it, but there's like a 6 or 7 part series there on Nimrod and Nimrod's wife and everything, and I went through a lot of that and talked about that. Anyway, and the beginning of his kingdom was Babel. So he's the first king that arises up to take worldwide domination. All right? He wants the temporal power. He wants the spiritual power. He wants it all. Now, you will notice where this is. Where is this kingdom at? And the king, and the beginning of this kingdom was Babel. See where the spirit is? See where the spirit of Babylon is? Right there. Starts right there. First point of reference right there. And we know, we know the history of Babel. We know the history of Nimrod. If you've understood any of that, if you've learned any of that, you understand who that is. You understand the battle that was there, the spiritual war that was waged against God. Do you understand that? That he was not warring against man. He was warring against God. Civil government today is still at war against God. Yep. They are still at war against God. And the beginning of his kingdom was Babel and Erech and Akkad and Calneh in the land of Shinar. Babylon was the first one-world government mixed with a one-world religion. This government was bent on replacing God with Nimrod being God. What was Nimrod? A foreshadowing of the Antichrist. Now, I will tell you there are a lot of theories out there about Nimrod. A whole bunch of them. And some people think you crazy when you start to mention some of those theories about Nimrod, all right? But some of those theories are interesting, to say the least, all right? They get into giants, and Nimrod was a mighty one, and I think Nimrod was a giant. I think there's some good indication of that. He was a mighty man, and it took somebody that was mightier than him that had the power of God to destroy his kingdom. And a lot of history talks about that, but we don't have a lot of Bible for who destroyed that kingdom and everything else. We know God did, ultimately, but we know someone slew Nimrod. But anyway, that's another story for another day. All right, in the whole earth, in Genesis chapter 11, verse number 1, we see here this beast system arising here. God gave us the designer to show. He showed us here with this, recording this for us. He showed us. So we would understand that this is what's going to happen in the end times, the same thing. This same system is going to come back. And the whole earth was of one language and of one speech. Well, that right there is already dangerous. And it came to pass as they journeyed from the east that they found a plain in the land of Shinar, and they dwelt there. And they said one to another, go to, let us make brick and burn them thoroughly. And they had brick for stone, and slime had they for mortar. And they said, go to, let us build us a city, a tower, whose top may reach unto heaven. And let us make us a name, lest we be scattered abroad upon the face of the whole earth. Well, what was that? Well, God said, be fruitful, multiply. Go on, be fruitful, multiply. God didn't want them all bunched up there, did he? No, but they wanted to. What name did they want to make themselves? Well, they wanted to rule the world. That's the name they wanted. They wanted a kingdom against God. They wanted to be Antichrist. They wanted to be against the God of the Bible, right? I mean, one us only trace Nimrod in his history to understand his lineage and everything else like that, but that's another sermon there for another day. But as we see here, they came and what they do? They built a tower. I think there's a few things that were going on at this time. I think there was a physical tower that was being built, but I think there was a spiritual tower that was being built at the same time. Because let me tell you something. They don't ever do anything just physically. They do it spiritually. Listen, there are a lot of deceived people out there that are trying to fight the New World Order, right? They're out there trying to fight a one-world government. They're out there, but what they don't realize is you are warring against the mystery of iniquity, the spirit of Babylon. That's what you're fighting. You are fighting the devil himself when you are fighting the New World Order. That's exactly who for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. And that's who they were battling against, or that's who they were warring against was God, and that's who you're warring against if you're fighting the New World Order. That's why men like Alex Jones are puppets for Satan. They're puppets for Satan. All of them out there that don't have Christ as their Savior are nothing more than puppets for the devil. I'm telling you, when that Antichrist comes on the scene, they will stick a knife in your back. I don't care. They can wave a constitution. They can wave whatever they want to. When that Antichrist comes on the scene, they're going to be deceived by him, and they are going to stab every Christian they can find in the back. They are going to go with Satan, and they are going to follow him. Just like Nimrod had seduced everyone to the city to come to Babel, to come to Shinar, come out there and build this tower. He seduced everyone. That's what the Antichrist is. That's why you hear these songs, another brick in the wall. What do you think they're talking about? All right, they're talking about building the Antichrist kingdom. What do you think the Masonic order is doing? What do you think they want to do? Who do you think they want to bring on? That's what they're bringing on. Who do you think the Jesuits want to bring on? What kingdom are they rising? What kingdom are they building? Think about it. And the Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the children of men builded. And I'm going to tell you, as God came down there, in the end, he's going to come down again. And he's going to trample them under his feet. And he's going to come down to see the tower and the kingdom and the one world government they've built. And he's going to crush it. Just like he came down here to see what they were doing. God looks into to civil government. God looks into it. You know, all the nations today, they believe that, God's not dealing with nations today. That's a very foolish statement to make, that God's not dealing with nations. God already dealt with nations. God already outlined civil government and their responsibility. He's dealing with them according to that. He's going to deal with them according in the end about how they treated Israel and how they did this and their war and everything else when that remnant rises. Amen. God instituted civil government. God gave the rules of civil government. God is still dealing with nations today. And if they turn their back on God, if they legislate wickedness and evil, God will destroy any nation that does that. It is a blueprint for destruction to turn against God. To legislate against the God of the Bible. I don't care who they think they are. I don't care if it's the Rothschilds, whoever, it doesn't matter. The Jesuits, the Pope, it doesn't matter. One day, he's coming back, and he's going to come down to see the city and the tower which the children of men building. And the Lord said, behold, the people is one, and they have all one language. And this they begin to do, and now nothing will be restrained from them, which they have imagined to do. God was concerned with their imaginations running wild. What do you think about today? The imaginations of evil What do you think about today? The imaginations of civil government, it's evil, what they imagine. I mean, look at this. They have the power of Google. They have the power of all these other things now that are working with them. They have all this satanic power that they have and this technology and everything else. Why? Because they're getting ready for that one world movement. Now, if you're a child of God, that ought not scare you. That ought to excite you. Why? Because it just proves the Bible true. I mean, we ought not be surprised about that they hate God, that they war against God. We ought not be surprised about that. And the Lord came down to see that city and tower. So he said, go to, let us go down and there confound their language that they may not understand one another's speech. Us. Right? God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost. Amen? Amen. So the Lord scattered them abroad from thence upon the face of all the earth, and they left off to build the city. Never says they ever gave up on it, though, does it? Never says they ever gave up on it. Did they? What? There's always, and there always will be until Christ crushes it and puts it down, the mystery of iniquity that doth already work, and it will always be trying to put another brick in the wall to build it up, to build up that Antichrist kingdom, to prepare for the final battle that will take place. Always, 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 the devil is never sleeping. Always building his kingdom. Always working on it. Always behind the scenes, in the shadows. That's right, he's getting excited. At least somebody's getting excited. Just don't teach him like PJ to run around the aisles, okay? So we are. Therefore is the name of it called Babel, because the Lord did there confound the languages of all the earth, and from thence did the Lord scatter them abroad upon the face of all the earth. Why did God scatter them abroad? Because he didn't want a one world government. He didn't want them together. Right, it wasn't time. So God came down and he intervened and he stopped it. That's what he did. He stopped it. He stopped the one world government at that time. Right? Just like he'll stop it in the end. Right? He'll put it down in the end, the rebellion. So this proves that God Almighty hates a one-world government, that God absolutely hates that, the design of man to take a one-world government and to rule the world. That's not God's design for civil government, was for man to a centralized of a government to rule the world. No, that's not how God instituted civil government at all, but that's how it ended up, because man is corrupt and man is wicked. And they did after every imagination of their heart. And that's what we have today. But it's always a question of, with the beast government system, it is always a question of authority. All right? So turn to Matthew chapter 21. The government is always a question of authority. Always, always, always. Anytime you have government come against God and his people, it is always a question of authority. Always. Matthew 21, verse number 23. And when he was come into the temple, the chief priests and the elders of the people came unto him as he was teaching and said, by what authority doest thou these things? Who gave thee this authority? And Jesus answered and said unto them, I also will ask you one thing, which if you tell me, I likewise will tell you by what authority I do these things. The baptism of John, whence was it? From heaven or of men? And they reasoned with themselves, saying, if we shall say from heaven, he will say unto us, Why did ye not then believe him? Why? Why did you believe him? What was it a question of? Authority. Always authority. That's what it's always about. You see, man's rebellion against God has to do with God's authority over him. And man would not have God's authority over civil government. He would not recognize God's authority over civil government. And that's when you have a problem here. The closest thing that we've had, besides a theocracy that Israel had, was the Constitution and the Bill of Rights, which gave a liberty to all. But it didn't hinder the Bible teaching. It didn't stop people from believing God. Okay? It didn't stop people from practicing what they believed. but it encouraged it, actually, and gave it liberty to do that, gave them liberty to do that. So, but that's the closest thing that we have to that on this side that we've had. But it's always a question of authority. That's what it comes to. Take the Pharisees. They asked John, they asked Jesus by what authority. They hassled Peter and John and told them not to speak in the name of Jesus. For they said, you've turned the world upside down. And their answer, which we'll talk about, was we would obey God rather than man. There comes a time when you have to disobey civil government. There comes a time when you have to do that in order to obey God. We'll talk about that when we cover Romans 13 at the end. But these are all foreshadowings of that final beast and that Antichrist system. Turn your Bibles, if you would, to Daniel chapter 2, please. The next point I want you to understand is that the beast government always wants worship. Always. A government, when it goes corrupt, it always wants its citizens or its subjects to worship them. Right? To worship them. And not only to worship them and honor them above God. Why do you think we have so many martyrs for the faith and so many men that died down through the centuries and women, children that died down through the centuries? What did they die for? Because they would not disobey God to obey government. And it got them killed. Now, we have lived in a bubble of 200 years of liberty. But I'm going to tell you, that's not normal, and that's this great lively experiment, amen, was brought about by God Almighty himself, because he placed into the heart of these Baptist men to push for a free state, to push for individual soul liberty and freedom of conscience. He put that in their heart. You cannot explain it any other way, because I'll tell you something right now, if it was a Puritan, it never would have happened. It never would have happened. If it was an Anglican, it never would have happened. If it was a Roman Catholic, you know full well it never would have happened. But it was a Baptist, and it was Baptist men that pushed that truth forward. And we'll talk about that on Sunday. But government always wants worship. Nebuchadnezzar was the king of the whole world, and he ruled with a fist of iron. Daniel chapter 2, verse number 37. Thou, O king, art a king of kings, for the God of heaven hath given thee a kingdom, power and strength and glory. And wheresoever the children of men dwell, the beasts of the field and the fowls of the heaven hath he given into thine hand, and he hath made thee rule over them all. Thou art this head of gold. Now, what was he the king of? The world at the time. Babylon. Right? I mean, he was it. He was the head of gold. He had it all. He ruled. As a government, he ruled. As a king, he ruled, and the government ruled all. That's how it was. And Daniel had told the king, you're a powerful king, and you rule over all that God has given you dominion over. But the king wanted worship that belonged unto God, didn't he? Civil government was not enough. He must intrude on the hearts of men and invade their conscience. Right? He had to do that. He had to invade into their conscience. He had to invade in there, and he had to say, nope, you will fall down and you will worship me. You give some men power, and that's where, without the God of the Bible in their heart, without them being born again, they will be corrupt. They will be wicked. Daniel chapter 3, verse number 1. We see Nebuchadnezzar. You know, it's interesting because Nebuchadnezzar is a type of the Antichrist, that one world system. That one world government. Nebuchadnezzar the king made an image of gold in verse number 1, whose height was 80 cubits and the breadth thereof 6 cubits, and set it up in the plain of Dura in the province of Babylon. Then the princes, verse number 3, then the princes, the governors and the captains, and the judges, the treasurers, the counselors, the sheriffs, and all rulers of the provinces were gathered together under the dedication of the image that Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up, and they stood before the image that Nebuchadnezzar had set up. So what happened here? All levels of civil government, right, were corrupted, were controlled by Nebuchadnezzar, who was that what? That head of gold. He was that beast right there. He was that beast that ruled all. Then a herald cried aloud, "To you it is commanded, O people, nations, and languages, that at what time you hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, dulcimer, and all kinds of music, you fall down and worship the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar the king has set up. And whoso falleth not down and worshipeth shall the same hour be cast in the midst of a burning, fiery furnace." Therefore, at that time, when all the people heard the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, and all kinds of music, all the people, the nations, and the languages fell down and worshipped the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. They all fell down and they all worshipped. What happened, though? There was a remnant that didn't, right? There was a remnant that would not bow down and worship the beast. God always has a remnant of people that will stand against that and will not bow the knee to the beast, will not bow the knee to the image of the beast. Revelation chapter 13, verse number 8. "And all them that dwell upon the earth shall worship him whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world." Right? Revelation chapter 13. Isn't it interesting that you see the same scenario played out in the book of Revelation at the end, where all the world will wonder after the beast? All the world will worship the beast, because government's a beast that expects absolute, in the end, expects absolute worship and all honor given to it. It's hard for people to fathom the fact, and in this country especially, that there's going to come a day where there is a one-world government set up, a one-world currency set up, and that absolute tyranny will reign. And unless you bow the knee to the beast, you will be killed or you will be sought out. And God can save his people. He can hide them. But he will. Amen. But it's coming. That is coming upon the world. That is the truth. Okay? That is biblical truth, plain and simple. And no, I do not believe in a pre-tribulation rapture. I do not believe that we are going to be taken up before that takes place. No, the Bible says the man of sin will be revealed, the son of perdition.
Right?
Yep. And the falling away and the man of sin shall be revealed. We're not going to be taken out of here. We're going to be here for it. If we're alive, amen? We're going to be here for it. Think about that. Very simple. If you don't understand that, go back and listen to about 12 sermons in a post-trib series. And if you listen to that, you will understand. You will see that, you know what? No, you're not going to be taken out of that. But you know what? The same God that took those martyrs through, that they sang hymns as they were burned, as they smiled with their faces and they shouted out to the Lord before they were burned at the stake, that same God is in you if you're born again. And that same God will strengthen you through that. That's right. He is the same God. Amen. But there will come a time on this earth, it may be in my lifetime, I tend to believe it will be. I really do. That we'll see it. Right? The Bible says men's hearts will fail them because of fear. For fear. But you know what? You have the truth right here. You have it. Why fear? Because they can take your body?
Right.
Take it. It ain't worth much anyway.
Right. Yep.
You can have it. Right. Try to do it with a clean shot, though, will you?
Right.
Then where do you go? Forever to be with the Lord.
Amen.
And you're going to come back and trample those enemies, too. You're going to come back one day and trample on those enemies. Right? Understand that. All foreshadowings of the Antichrist and the beast system here in the book of Daniel here. And then in Revelation chapter 13, we see that. We see that they will wander after the beast. All the world will go after the beast. Some will go through great tribulation, but the fires will not be able to harm them, for a remnant shall be saved, the Bible says. And I believe that God's people that are here, His saints that are here, I believe He can preserve them through all tribulation. Right? When God poured out His wrath upon Egypt, He had a remnant there. They weren't harmed. Why? Is he a different God? Why couldn't he do it now? The plagues are awfully similar. That's right. And God saved his people through that and protected them. I don't care if all fire and brimstone and all manner of those plagues comes down, God is able to protect his people through it all. Now the beast, in comes here Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, right? And they have an answer for the Antichrist wannabe, all right? Right? Daniel chapter 3, verse number 13. Then Nebuchadnezzar in his rage and fury commanded to bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Then they brought these men before the king. Then he essentially tells them to take the mark of the beast, basically. Fall down, worship the image, right? Take the mark. When I'm going to hit my altar music and get my invitation going, and when you hear the music play, right? Right? When you hit the altar, when you hear the music play, if not, you're in trouble, right? You're going to die. I'm going to hit my altar music and give an invitation, and here we go. You're going to bow down. Verse number 15, now if you be ready that at what time you hear the sound of the cornet, the flute, the harp, the sackbut, the psaltery, the dulcimer, and all kinds of music, you fall down and worship the image which I have made, well. But if you worship not, ye shall be cast the same hour in the midst of a burning fiery furnace. And who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hands? See, that's another thing the beast always does. When Jesus was on the cross, and they said, well, if God's your father, why don't you come down off that cross? That's the same spirit, same Antichrist spirit. Why don't you just come down off that cross then? Satan did it to Jesus as well. Why don't you cast yourself down? For it is written, right? Just go ahead and do it. Turn the stone into bread. Go ahead. Provoking. Now that beast government will always ask of you worship and conformity to his ways. We're going to tell you how you're going to do your ceremony, how you're going to do this, how you're going to do that. And in these days of apostasy, and the foreshadowing of that beast is evident. But what did Daniel chapter 3, verse number 16, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. Nebuchadnezzar, you got to understand one thing. We know you're a powerful king, but we're not careful. We have an answer for you, king. Amen. It ought to be the same answer that you and I have when the government that's a beast comes and tells you something that they have no right to tell you. When they try to get you to give undying submission and loyalty to government above God. If it hasn't happened yet, it'll happen. It'll happen. And they were saying, King, we don't have to think about it for a second. We don't have to prep words or we don't have a lot of work to do. We have nothing to consider because we will not worship your image. Right. We will not bow down to your image. So, boy, they must have been arrogant. Now, when a man is bold for his God, that's the first thing that he's accused of. Yeah. Is being, you're arrogant.
Yeah.
You know, by cowards, that's right. But they will always say, oh, you're just arrogant and cocky and arrogant. That's what you are. No, boldness is not arrogance, but it's confidence in the God of heaven. Confident that the flames of that furnace or the shooting squad that I might take or the grievous death I might die will only be for a moment. But you, O king, are not Lord over my conscience. You, O king, are not Lord over my conscience. You are not Lord over my mind. If it be so, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace. And he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. What were they saying? Well, even if we die, we're still out of your hand, king. Don't you get it? If you kill us, we're still out of your hand. If God preserves us through the flames, we're still going to be out of your hand. You still don't have any power over us. The only power you have is what our Father in heaven allows you to have. Just what Jesus told them when they were going to crucify Jesus. He said, I have power to release thee. He said, you could have no power but that it was given from above. What was Jesus telling him? Well, in case some people didn't understand it, what he was telling them is that, hey, listen, yeah, you're civil government, but you only have so much authority. You only have the authority my Father lets you have. That's all you have. Because God is over all civil government, whether they like it or not. And they don't like it, they hate it. But if, what's that? No, Miss Finger doesn't like it, that's right. But if not, be it known unto thee, O King, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. Amen. If God lets us be martyrs for the faith, then we are just letting you know, there is no way on God's green earth that we will worship the beast and the Antichrist. And I'm going to tell you something right now. Because of the Spirit of God is inside of you, you will not worship the beast or the Antichrist, but you will gladly stand there and get your head whopped off easily. Go ahead, lop it off. I'm fine. Take it. Take it off. Make it clean, will you? One time. Because you won't, there won't even be a thought in your mind whether you'll take it or not. There's been some in the past, some of the martyrs. I remember one of the martyrs, a Baptist martyr, I was reading about a few months ago, and he recanted, but then he went back into the square and he said, I can't do it. I have to die. And Zwingli burned him. Ugh. Baptists are not Protestants. We don't kill people for what they believe. So what was he saying here? Then was Nebuchadnezzar full of fury. Now that's what's going to happen. Let me tell you something. When you look at civil government and you say we would obey God rather than man, that makes them mad. Amen. They get a devil seven times worse than the one they had in them before. They get angry when you tell them no. When you tell them, excuse me, you're not God. Whew. Amen. Will that ever make them mad? Then was Nebuchadnezzar full of fury, and the form of his visage was changed against Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Therefore he spake and commanded that they should heat the furnace one seven times hotter, seven times more than it was wont to be heated. He said, stoke it up, their God can't deliver them out of my hands. Right? Then we see in Daniel chapter 3, verse number 23, God is with his saints through the fire. When that beast comes after them, God is with them. God is in the fire with them. Listen, there may come a day on this earth when you and I, when we are chased by that beast. There may come that day. I certainly can't give you some kind of fairy tale, and I certainly can't give you something, a Disney ending. I certainly can't lie to you and tell you something that's not true, but the only thing I see ahead of us is tyranny. That's all that I see. When evil is exalted, tyranny is on the way. Full-scale tyranny is on the way. It's coming. See, I don't want to think about that. Why? Smile. Jesus loves you. Right? Your life is but a vapor. It just proves that you and I, we hold on too much to this earth. It's where our treasure is sometimes. And our treasure needs to be in heaven. We need to understand that, yeah, I don't want to see my children suffer. I don't want to see any of those things happen. I don't want to see any of that. Absolutely not. But I believe God's word. And believe me, I often wonder, why wasn't I around 50 years ago? Why wasn't I around 50 years ago? I don't have to suffer all this stuff, you know? I don't have to, what's coming? I mean, I'd miss it or something, you know what I mean? There'd be a little bit more liberty left in here that people weren't so, you know, angry at the truth all the time as much as they, but you know what? Every generation has its own battles, and God has raised us up for such a time as this. Amen. Amen. They are exciting times, that's right. Daniel chapter 3, verse number 23. And these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down bound in the midst of the burning fiery furnace, thrown in the midst of tribulation and trials, warring against the king of the world, the one world government, who wants the worship of men's hearts as well as their loyalty to his civil government, to his authority. He wants temporal power and spiritual power. It's not enough for you to be a good subject to pay your taxes, do this, do that. No, that's not enough. No, no, we must have you worship us.
Yep.
You must worship. Have you ever been around most politicians? They act like rock stars that people are to worship. That's what they act like. I mean, I know they go through the whole show they put on every 3 or 2 to 4 years when they're running for election, and they act like they love God, and they act like they love the Bible. They act like they're Christians, and they act like they really care about you. And then they go up to Congress for 4 years, make $200,000 a year, and do nothing but sell you down the river. And I challenge anybody who wants to, I'll debate you on that any day. Because it's that simple. They are liars. And they are working for their father, the devil, and the lust of their father they do. And as soon as you quit wasting your time with all that, and you just start serving Jesus Christ and start preaching the gospel and doing all you can, you won't get entangled with that mess. I did it. I went to go be a delegate for Ron Paul, went through all that. I got up to the convention. I watched what happened. I couldn't believe they had a team of 100 lawyers there fighting his nomination. At Minneapolis. That's right. It's a beast. That's right. Yeah. Well, no, they won. The 100 lawyers for Mitt Romney won. Because the Republican convention, just like Donald Trump, this pony, this horse, this show that's going on with Donald Trump, right? This huge show that's going on with him, this is all a show.
Right.
Yeah. Ted Cruz and him and this fight for the nomination. Well, we don't want Donald Trump to get it. No, what they want to cause is mass anger and hysteria. That's what they want to cause. They want people to be mad. So they want to battle. I mean, come on. To think that Donald Trump is not part of the New World Order is just ridiculous. There's no billionaire on this earth that's not part of the New World Order, okay? There's no billionaire on this earth that's not part of the New World Order. Do you understand that? His whole life is leveraged by banks. Banks own him. Do you understand that? He owns real estate, but banks own him. Okay, who owns the banks? The Vatican. And he was Jesuit trained. Okay, anyway, we'll save it for the radio show because we're gonna do all that as soon as we figure out if he's going to be the nominee or not. But it's all a game that they're playing. And if you trust Ted Cruz, I mean, could they find a U.S. citizen to run for president? Could they just find one to run for president? Why can't they find a U.S. citizen to run for president? Why is it always somebody that's not even a U.S. citizen even? It's ridiculous. Man. Unbelievable. I'm not voting for any of them anyway. If they had a ballot that said vote the bums out, that's the one I'd be voting on. Vote the bums out. All of them. Vote them all out. Yeah, all of them. All of them. Vote them all out. Start over. Right? Then Nebuchadnezzar the king was astonished. And rose up in haste and spake and said unto his counselors, did not we cast 3 men unto men bound into the midst of the fire? They answered and said to the king, true, O king. He answered and said, lo, I see 4 men loose walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt, and the form of the fourth is like the Son of God. What was that? God, Jesus Christ, in the fire with them, going through great tribulation with them, going through the greatest tribulation of their life, right? Right there with them in that fire. Just like God will be with his children through tribulation. He will be with them through that. God doesn't just leave when his children are in tribulation. Jesus Christ was with them through it. Then Nebuchadnezzar came near to the mouth of the burning fiery furnace and spake and said, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, ye servants of the Most High God, come forth and come hither. Then Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came forth out of the midst of the fire. Notice, not servants of the king, but what did he say? Ye servants of the Most High God.
Amen.
Right?
Yep.
He knew.
Yeah, he did.
He knew, didn't he?
Yep.
They didn't bow, did they? Right? They didn't give in. They didn't bow the knee. They didn't bend, did they? They didn't give in. But they stood up. And you know what? We are going to have to do the same thing. It may be in our lifetime. Christ is with us through all tribulation. Nothing shall separate us from the love of God.
Amen.
He has proven and stated in his word that he will never leave thee nor forsake thee. These men did not waver from the truth. These men did not pick the fair speeches. But these men give fair speeches, but these men stood for the truth. They were bold. They didn't hide the truth in the closet and fear the king. They would not bow down to the king's image nor the beastly rule. They did not obey matters that were not given to civil government to decide. They followed as far as they could the king's orders until it violated their relationship with Christ, or before it intruded into the other God ordained branches of government, which we'll talk about in Romans 13. Civil government today is godless and is antichrist, and the beast desires worship. The beast will get angry when it is not worshiped, and it will come with fiery indignation. If you recognize the sovereignty of God over your family and over the church, government is a beast, and it will not like that. Government is a beast, though, a scene. It's foreshadowing. And then in Daniel chapter 11, verse number 32, we see this. And such as do wickedly against the covenant shall he corrupt by flatteries. But the people that do know their God shall be strong and do exploits. Amen. And they that understand among the people shall instruct many. And they shall fall by the sword, by the flame, by captivity, and by spoil many days. Now when they shall fall, they shall be holpen with a little help. But many shall cleave to them with flatteries. That's interesting, by the way. Flattery is a tool of the Antichrist. Yep. Don't be a flatterer or a flat earther, either one, but don't. Anyway. Uh-oh. Because you'll fall off, so that's bad. Don't do that. Anyway. There's ice walls. Oh, that's right. Ice walls. And some of them, it says here, some of them of understanding shall fall, to try them and to purge and to make them white, even to the time of the end, because it is yet for a time appointed. And the king shall do according to his will, and he shall exalt himself and magnify himself. Look at this. Above every god.
Right.
Government is a beast that wants worship above God. That's the Antichrist's plan. That's Satan's plan. And shall speak marvelous things against the God of gods, and shall prosper till the indignation be accomplished, for that it is determined shall be done. For that is determined shall be done. So this is government, the beast. This is the beast that we see in the Old Testament, and it's foreshadowings and talking about what will happen in the New Testament, what will happen in the end. But turn to Romans chapter 13, please. Because we're going to see that God gave us a chain, all right, for civil government. God gave us a chain, and it's to be embedded into our conscience that we understand this, that we are never to give undying, absolute loyalty to civil government.
Right.
We are not to do that. We are not to give undying, absolute authority to civil government or to other forms of government or to a husband, let's say. A wife is not to give that undying loyalty above God.
Right.
No. If your husband tells you to do wickedly, if he tells you to do evil, if he tells you to go sell yourself as a harlot, you're not supposed to obey that. You're to obey God rather than man. You're to obey God above that. You don't ever obey civil, any form of government above God. Never. Whether it's family government, whether it's civil government, whether it's church government. You don't obey a pastor above the Bible. You don't obey a pastor above. You don't have undying submission and loyalty to a pastor. No. The only loyalty that is 100% is loyalty to Christ and his word. Christ is above all. Amen. In Colossians, we see that Christ is above all. He's above your husband's authority over you. He's above your pastor's authority. He's above the church's authority. Amen. Christ is above all. We are never to obey wickedness to disobey God, because to obey evil is to disobey God. Amen. Acts chapter 5, verse number 25. You can stay in Romans 13. I'm just going to read this to you here. Then came one and told them, saying, "Behold, the men whom ye put in prison are standing in the temple and teaching the people." Then when the captain with the officers and brought them, then went the captain with the officers and brought them without violence, for they feared the people lest they should have been stoned. And when they had brought them, they set them before the council, and the high priest asked them, saying, "Did not we straitly command you that ye should not teach in this name? And behold, ye have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine, and intend to bring this man's blood upon us." Not too different than what you hear when you go out and preach in the open air today. Acts chapter 5 is still happening today. It still happens. You go out. The first time I ever preached in Northfield, Minnesota, the first time we ever preached here, we went out to the square there, to Bridge Square. We went out there, and there was a police officer there that told me that, and it's the one and only time that the Northfield police handled something wrong, I believe. They did a great job. They've done a great job upholding our rights, so I'm not bashing them at all. They have a good understanding. They've learned a lot about all that, and they believe in the First Amendment right, and they honor that, okay? They do honor that, so I'm not bashing them. I want you to understand that. I believe they understand this issue very well now. But what happened was there was an officer there that didn't know what he was doing, and when I got out there, when we stepped out there, he said, I could arrest you, and I could trespass you off of here for a year. And I just looked at him and said, "Well, no, you can't." But, you know, he's like, "Well, you've got to stop preaching here." "No, I don't have to stop preaching here." You know, he said, you have more liberty over there on that sidewalk than you do right here. And both of them were public. And I was like, I can't. And I try to reason with people. And I believe I did this with him. I have it on tape, but I believe I did this with him. So what you're saying is that, like, I don't have liberty here, but I have liberty there. And this is a public place. Is that what you're telling me? And he was like, "Yes, I can trespass you." And he kept saying it over and over again. And I was like, "Well, you're wrong." And I told him he was wrong. But I let it go, and then we battled it out. But what did he want to do? Stop me from preaching. He wanted to stop the preaching. That's not new. It's just most Christians today could care less if their brethren gets arrested for that or gets, they don't care. They look down on that. "Oh, you caused a stir." You mean like no small stir? Right? You mean like there's no small stir that was occurred in the that occurred all over the New Testament, all over the book of Acts? That no small stir that took place? That these men have turned the world upside down? Yeah, that's... See, you and I got to get out of this notion that we believe that our faith is supposed to be comfortable, that our life is not to be without any sacrifices for the Lord Jesus Christ, and that we should just sail through everything perfectly with unscathed and unbothered and not have a problem in the world, that everybody's just supposed to fall down and love everything that we're going to say, and that nobody's going to hate what you say. Right. Well, if you go to most of the average Fundy Baptist churches around here, that's exactly how it'll be, because they're not offended by any of them. Why? Well, because most of the time, for about an hour, they're playing music up there, and that's what they do. Then the pastor gets up there and gives a little sermonette. And then after you wake up from that, you leave and eat. And then you know, you go off and live your life the same old way you always did. Never changed, never challenged. You continue to live in sin. You live like the world. You love the world. You're compromised and everything else. But when your faith is going to cost you something, listen to me. When faith one day, your faith one day, my faith, it's going to cost us something. It already has in my life, and it already has in some of your lives. But it's going to cost you something. But we haven't lost our heads yet. Amen. But it may cost you your job. Right? Is he worth it? Amen. Is he worth it? Amen. It may cost you your head. Is he worth it? Amen. Right? He is worthy, right? He is worthy. Then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, "We ought to obey God rather than men." Those rebels. Well, they sound like a bunch of disorderly people, don't they? What's the matter with them? A police officer spoke to them. They should bow down and worship him. What's the matter with them? They should disobey the God of the Bible. And they should follow them. Hey, they should help people park haunted houses instead of preaching. Because that would be better. We wouldn't want to get anybody upset us. And we wouldn't want to have a video out there where somebody could critique you. You wouldn't want to lift up your voice like a trumpet and have somebody be offended by that. Right? Listen to me. I could go out 1,000 times over and hand out tracts anywhere, and I'm not going to have anybody get that mad. I used to do it all the time in this town. Only one guy came after me and tried to beat me down. Man, he was mad. And I was a good fundy then, too. I don't know what he was mad about. Anyway, but we handed out thousands, and we didn't have anybody mad at us. Not really. They just didn't answer the door. You know what they don't like about street preaching? There ain't no door they have to answer. Right. You know what I love about street preaching? There's no door they don't have to answer. Right. They have to listen to it now when they walk by. They have to. But you know what? They wanted that government wanted undying loyalty, submission at any cost. But Peter said, and the other apostles answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than man. Amen. Submit yourselves. Now, 1 Peter chapter 2, verse number 13 explains this. Actually, let me get to Romans 13 first, and then I'll get to that. Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. Whosoever therefore resisteth the power resisteth the ordinance of God, and they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. So it says to be subject to civil government, right? Absolutely. For rulers, but now he starts to explain. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to the evil. Well, now you're going to see a pattern here. Good, evil. Good, evil. Good, evil. Wilt thou then not be afraid of the power? Do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same. Is it evil to preach in the open air? No, it's good. For he is the minister of God to thee for good. Now, these police officers, I believe that they could be counted as those ministers, right? I believe they've upheld the Constitution. They've upheld the right standard. I believe that you would label them as ministers, right? Minister of God to thee for good. I believe you would. I believe I would call them that. I believe I would call many of the police officers in Minneapolis and St. Paul area. I would say the same thing about them. But I would definitely say that about these in Northfield, that they are the ministers of God to thee for good. I believe that. I believe they understand that, and they honor God when they honor that in the Bible. Right? They don't even maybe know they're honoring that. But they are. They're upholding that which is good, and they're condemning that which is evil. But if thou do that which is evil, be afraid, for he beareth not the sword in vain, for he is the minister of God, a revenger to execute wrath upon him that doeth evil. Now, if you go out there and you were to threaten people with bodily harm, if you were to harass people, if you were to assault people, then by all means, that police officer has the duty to what? To be the minister of God to thee for good, and to what? But if thou do that which is evil, be afraid, for he beareth not the sword in vain. So there is a duty for civil government that if you harm somebody, if you hurt somebody, speech isn't harming them, okay? Preaching them isn't harming them. Well, might be harming their soul a little bit, might be convicting them, but it's for their own good. For he beareth not the sword in vain, for he is the minister of God, a revenger to execute wrath upon him that doeth evil. You know, sometimes people get arrested because they do things wrong. Sometimes they get in trouble because they do things wrong. Do you ever once think about it, that God allows that stuff to happen to protect others around? How about to protect this church? That God allows things to happen? Hey, we've been out there before where we've had to place somebody under a citizen's arrest. And what did civil government do? They honored that. The police officers came by. They said, okay, we got him. And they cuffed him. They said, put your hands behind your back. They cuffed him. Yeah. Kind of surprised me a little bit because they came back over. Yeah. And I was like, what are you going to do with him? He goes, we're arresting him. We're taking him to jail. You put him under arrest, not me. I was like, oh, yeah. Yes, we did, didn't we? He's like, you want to let him go? I said, well, if he just leaves, I mean, he didn't hurt our stuff. So I guess, yeah, if he can go. Okay, we'll let him go then. We'll make him leave. And he left. Yep. What was that? That was a minister of God to thee for good. Right? That's civil government duty. That's their responsibility. But that's what Romans 13 teaches you and I, so we understand civil government is not lord over your conscience. It is not lord over your mind and your body and your heart. It is not. God never intended it to be. He says, wherefore you must needs be subject, not only for wrath, but also for conscience sake. For this cause pay ye tribute also. For they are God's ministers attending continually upon this very thing. Some people don't like this, by the way, but it's in there. You know, I don't like paying taxes either. Nobody does. But you know what? There's a lot of libertarians that believe that, nope, no taxes at all, none whatsoever, none at all. Well, that's not quite what the Bible says, though. It doesn't say that, okay? Now, we understand the beast is out of control today, but it doesn't say no taxes at all whatsoever and anarchy rules. By the way, if these people had the anarchy they wanted, they'd be dead. That's a ridiculous overreach and misunderstanding of everything. That I'll tell you what that is. That is more libertarian than it is biblical. Right? That's right. Not even questioning the depravity of man, right? Not even questioning what can happen there with that. God put instituted civil government for a purpose. Romans 13 lays that out plainly. Don't take part of it and then reject all the rest of it that benefits you. It says, render therefore to all their dues, tribute to whom tribute is due, custom to whom custom, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor. And the Bible lays down what that honor is. It's not undying loyalty and subjection. It's not, I need to disobey God to obey government. Absolutely not. If you do that, you're an idolater. You are a statist and an idolater if you do that. Owe no man anything but to love one another. Here we go. Now he starts to explain what civil government's actual authority is here. It's to judge evil, put down evil, and to protect the good. Okay? But he says here, owe no man anything but to love one another, for he that loveth another has fulfilled the law. So what's he saying? You're to love one another, right? For this thou shalt not commit adultery. Well, that's a crime, isn't it? It's a crime. Amen. That's another man's property. That's a crime. If you're a feminist right now, you're going to shake your head and be like, I'm nobody's property. Well, you better go read the Bible. Amen. Go read the scriptures. Get your heart right with God. Amen. And understand that you are. The Bible says that the husband is the head of the wife. She takes his last name for a reason. If that bothers you, it's not my fault. There's something wrong with your heart. And it could be that your husband's not treating you right also. Because if your husband's treating you right, that ought to be a joyful thing to you. That ought to be a joyful thing to you. It ought not be grievous to you. It ought to be a blessing to you that he's your head. Amen? Hey, listen, I didn't write it. I'm just preaching it. God wrote it. Read it in the book of Ephesians. God said it. Amen? God said it. Anyway, but that's what adultery is. Thou shalt not kill. Life. That's life. That's right. That's life. Civil government has the if you took another man's wife, you were in trouble, right? Yep. By the way, that used to be a crime. Joseph Smith and those guys broke those laws all the time. Yep. But that was a crime. But only back then, they got the shotguns out. Yep. Old Joey didn't fare too well when he walked out of there with his Masonic ring on and tried to wave everybody off and all those Masons were mad. Those Masons were mad for two reasons in the crowd. Number one, he stole the mysteries and he took them off and he built the Mormon temple with them and another religion, right? And the second thing he did was he was stealing all their wives with his little talisman and his magic. Go listen to the series on Mormonism if you don't understand what I just said. All right, thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not steal. Again, that's property, right? You're not allowed to steal. Civil government, if you steal, civil government has a responsibility to put down your evil. Right. I disagree with how it does it today. Yeah. I think prisons are absolutely atrocious and evil. Yeah. There's two things in the Bible that they did to them. Some were prisons. I mean, they had them in Joseph's day, but they were always pagans that had those prisons. Yeah. Right? What should it be? A good old-fashioned whooping, that's what. For stealing, and you're a indentured servant, you work it off until you pay it off. Amen. Amen. Right? But they gave him a whooping, or they charged him money, or if it's bad enough, they put you to death. No more prison system. But you know why that'll never happen? Money. Because they're a bunch of wicked devils that run that. That is the most atrociously wicked system out there. Anyway, that's right, it is. That's right. All right, so anyway, so we understand that. I got to hurry up here. Thou shalt not bear false witness. That's, you know what that means, don't you? Now, for you and I, that's thou shalt not lie. Yes, that's true, but Brother Finney understands what that means. That false witness is a witness in court. If you stood up in court as a witness and you were a false witness, you are in a lot of trouble. You are in a ton. You perjured yourself. So civil government has a responsibility if somebody is a false witness, because why? Because somebody can die if you witness falsely against them, right? It was somebody's life you were stealing from them. You'd be a man stealer too. You're stealing their life, right? You ruin their reputation. You ruin their life. That's right. And false witnesses were to be, if this crime was serious, put to death. You know, very serious. Thou shalt not covet. What is that? Again, the second table of the law. You're not allowed to go off your neighbor's stuff and take your neighbor's stuff, or to covet after your neighbor's stuff, or to, you know, anyway, there's a lot that could be said about that. Your neighbor's wife and all of his property. That's not really a judgment of the mind, okay? That's an outward action leading up to that, okay? Yeah, it's leading up to that, to the outward action is what's being discussed there. Anyway, but and if there be any other commandment, it is briefly commanded in this saying, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Love worketh no ill to his neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law, and that knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. Anyway, so he goes through, what is that? It's the second table of the law. That's civil government's responsibility. That's all they have. Then turn over, and we'll be finished here. I'm done. 1 Peter chapter 2, and we're finished. I'll get you out of here. Well, you probably won't leave anyway, but I'll be done anyway. You never leave when I'm done anyway, but 1 Peter chapter 2, verse number 13. This end times government beast will want, this government beast has always wanted worship. The end times one we'll talk about later. But here we have also Romans 13. The same teaching that was in Romans chapter 13 is here stated again. Submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether it be to the king as supreme or unto governors as unto them that are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and for the praise of them that do well. For so is the will of God, that with well-doing you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. As free and not using your liberty for a cloak of maliciousness, but as the servants of God. Honor all men, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king. What is he giving? He's giving civil government's responsibility, civil government's authority. The fact that you are not allowed, civil government is not allowed to lord over your conscience. He's not saying obey the king over God. He puts it into perspective. You are to honor God above all. Okay, Romans chapter 13 says that all civil government, the powers that be, they are ordained of God. Right? And actually, if you understand the Constitution of America, the powers that be are not the United States representatives. They're not the President of the United States either. That's not the way this civil government was set up. Now, it's gone rogue now for sure, but that's not, that beast has broke the chain, but that's not the way the civil government, we'll talk about the way the civil government was set up and do some of that on Sunday. But as we see here, yeah, it used to be a republic, that's right. Like that that old occultist Benjamin Franklin said. Yeah, they asked, what form of government have you given us, Mr. Franklin? She said, a republic if you can. He said, a republic if you can keep it. Well, my personal opinion is that was a snide little dig, is what that was. He knew. He knew what was going to happen. I mean, he had a good idea. Yeah, he was wicked. He was a wicked man. But anyway, honor all men, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor king. That's God's order. Servants, be subject to your masters with all fear, not only to the good and gentle, but also the froward. What is this? This is the second table of the law. That's what he's saying. He is speaking, but he's never giving civil government authority over God. Right. over your conscience. Never. In Romans chapter 13, you never see that. That beast is never supposed to rule over your mind. Why did God tell us that? Why did he lay this down to be specific? Because there is coming a day, friend, that we'll talk about on Sunday, where that temporal power and that spiritual, there was before too, okay? But there's going to be a rise in the end times here of civil government, that beast that forms completely together, that will have temporal power and spiritual power. And if you don't give in, you will die. And you will... Well, that's weird. Siri went off on my phone. That's strange. Uh-oh. Being recorded. Yeah, that's weird, isn't it? That's when I said the word die. She came on, huh? That's weird. Anyway, but... that's kind of funny. But civil go, what's that?
Chapter 4:14.
Amen. Go ahead, brother. Amen. 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 That's right. Amen. We ought to suffer for righteousness' sake, not for evil doing. And that's the lesson of Romans chapter 13, by the way. Good, evil, good, evil. You don't obey evil government. You don't follow evil government. All right?
Right.
You don't.
Right.
When government tells you to break God's laws, you don't do it. You don't do it. And what's that? When they become a terror to good works, that's right. You don't follow it. Right? You don't. You disobey that. And that's hard for some people to understand because they believe that, oh, no, you got to always obey government, always obey. No. Not if they ask you to disobey God. Then you follow the Lord through everything. All right? Let's pray. Father, Lord, we thank you. Thank you for your word. Thank you for the truth of it, Lord. We just pray you bless us. Help us understand this, Lord, this beast, government, a beast that demands worship. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.